This is the BBC Home Service, and now, once again, the School Days of Nigel Molesworth, a guide to school life for tiny pupils and their parents. We present Episode 3, Lessons and How to Avoid Them. The entire programme introduced and narrated by your narrator, Nigel Molesworth.
Hello. And yes, once again, it is I, Nigel Molesworth, Gorilla of 3B, Secretary of Tuckshop Committee and, of course, Curse of St. Custard's. And, of course, Timothy Peason, who...
Thank you.
Who is my great friend and who have the face of a stuffed rodent and the pong of an orangutan.
Don't!
Do, actually.
Don't!
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that, tiny intellectual altercation, listeners. But as I was saying, it brings us to today's gripping episode, Episode 3. Lessons and...
Molesworth.
What?
I think you should explain to the listeners at home that we is currently waiting outside Grabber's study door to report to Grabber, and we do not quite know what
the upshot will be, is, I believe, the phrase you was looking for, Peason.
Exactly, Molesworth.
Anyway, the point Timothy was making is we are not entirely certain how fully available we will be for today's episode, so...
Knock on the door! Let's get it over with!
All right.
Now!
Yes! All this torn up paper in here.
It's like a giant litter bin.
Oh, it's no good. It's impossible.
Grabber? What's the matter, Grabber?
What the hell do you two want?
Well, you told us to
get out!
Oh, yes, sorry, Grabber.
What's the matter with Grabber?
No idea.
He was worse than Sigismund, the mad maths master.
Maybe it's yesterday's prunes.
Eating into his brain.
Yeah. Anyway, we apologise, listeners, for that brief technical hitch, but now on with the show. Episode 3, Lessons.
And how to avoid them. The problem with lessons is that despite being called lessons, they don't actually lessen, but get longer and longer the longer one does them.
You'll notice, listeners, Peason's sharp and ready wit.
Is it?
However, despite his somewhat zhuzhun and analysis, Peason has succeeded in coming up with, so to speak, a pretty cogent explanation of the situation in hand, i.e., lessons go on, and it is every tiny boy's task to avoid him whenever possible.
Exactly.
Pray continue, please, Peason.
Yes. So let us begin with the dread and pointless subject of Latin.
Latin beaks teach Latin, or Lat, which is different from Ing, Jomb, Algi, or Fru, etc., because it is first period after break, i.e., straight after cocoa and buns, i.e., they ought to give us indigestion tablets just to get through it.
Which fizz, like my mum have after a hangover.
The point about Lat is basically everything in Lat happened many years ago, and that explains the well-known fact known to all tiny pupils that all Latin masters are old and bent with age. But be warned, tiny listeners, if Lat beaks are slow starters...
Once they open their Hillard and Botting, they go like a jet rocket.
Hillard and Botting, exercise 1A, section 2, sentence 6. The Gauls. Galley. Subject. Go on, Molesworth. O pugnant, meaning Molesworth? Are attacking, verb, transitive. Attacking what, Molesworth? Farsas, boy. Farsas, meaning... Ditches, child, ditches. So the Gauls are attacking the ditches. Repeat after me. Right. What did you say, Molesworth? What? Why on earth attack? I have no idea why, Molesworth, or indeed for what purpose, the Gauls wish to attack the ditches. The Latin is correct, and that suffices. Concentrate, boy. Simple soul.
You will have noticed by now, listeners, that the trick is basically to sit there and look totally dopey so the Latin beak do all the translating himself.
And all you do is chew toffees and watch the clock.
Boring, but highly efficacious, as I'm sure you'll agree. And now to another dreaded subject, French, or fr. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Fr is without doubt the most boring subject ever invented.
According to ancient tradition, no French or fr master can keep order for longer than half a second.
Whenever he appear in the doorway, it's a signal for a hail of ink pots, rubbers, chalk, toffees and stink bombs.
Flying straight at him like a million Russian missiles.
His only salvation is when the boys, having thrown chalk, stink bombs and toffees for half an hour, are so exhausted they are glad of the rest. They then sit relatively silent for the last 10 minutes while he describes a day in the life of Monsieur Dubois. Monsieur Dubois lives in an appartement with Madame Dubois and Rose Amélie Fifi, their tiny annoying daughter, and their tiny little poodle, Fru-Fru. Sometimes when Madame Dubois is in the kitchen frying snails in her culotte, Monsieur Dubois takes Rose Amélie Fifi and Fru-Fru for a promenade in the gardens of the Luxembourg. Alternatively, he sits in his study smoking a pipe or peep. In fact, he never does a single stroke of work. After that, he's back in the Tuileries Gardens pointing out plants and pigeons to Fifi and Fru-Fru. He then eats his dinner and goes to bed. And this is how life goes on in France. Or Fru.
And now, history or hist.
Yes, history or hist.
I just said that.
Exactly. How to avoid history.
And the terrible answer to that question is no one have yet found a way of avoiding history. 'Cause it keeps happening every day.
And now, divinity, or div, which, believe it or not, is absolutely super. 'Cause everyone do bloodthirsty things, you name it. For example, Abraham tried to do his tiny son on the bonfire. David say Yabu sucks to Goliath and buzz a brick at him.
Cain did his bro Abel, which is enough to give me an idea about Molesworth too.
And some old girl did a man with a tent peg. As my mum says, the whole Bible is like the news of the world.
But how to avoid divinity, if you should so wish it? Well, one method is you could try being let down by a rope into the class dressed as an angel. You then say to the master, "Hello, who are these tiny little cherubims and seraphims who are continually crying?" And he replies,
"Do 200 lines, O Molesworth, or else."
So quite a good wheeze, but probably wouldn't work. Jeez.
We now come to English.
Or ing. Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you, Nigel. Let us start with English beaks. English beaks have long hair, red ties, suede shoes and go into ecstasies over weeds like William Wordsworth, who swoon over a bunch of daffodils.
Now then, in the good old days of English poetry, you knew where you was, but now English beaks are advanced. Jeez! And intone for hours on end the latest by Christopher Fry and T.S. Eliot and W.H. Horton, which make Fotherington Thomas blub because he's a sissy. Oh, but look, here he comes now, tit-upping interview.
W.H. Horton?
No, Fotherington Thomas, you fool.
Hello, trees. Hello, lovely day.
Fotherington Thomas, you weed.
Hello, Molesworth. Hello, Peason. I cannot stop sadly to idly chat as I must wend my way to my extracurricular poetry class with Mr. Metcalf Walker, the English master. Though I fear he may not be there, as he has been somewhat absent of late, as have been, so I am to understand, many of the other masters.
Absent?
From their lessons.
Masters?
Missing? This have never been known in a trillion years.
Yes, it is rather concerning, I must say. We do not wish to get behind in our studies. I have heard a secret rumour. They are all up in the medical wing, suffering, so I understand, from a mystery ailment.
It's the prunes.
I wouldn't know about that, as I make huge prunes owing to my highly delicate constitution. But must away. Farewell, Molesworth. Farewell, Peason. Hello, rest of the day. Hello, sky. Hello, trees. Hello, bird.
Oh, my goodness. It's like emergency Ward 10 out here. Look at all you chaps. Are you all feeling poorly?
Yes. Terribly poorly.
Terribly, terribly poorly.
The case of the missing masters solved. What's the matter with them?
I'm afraid Matron's not here, so it's just little me, I'm afraid. And, oh, Headmaster.
What are all these masters doing here? What are you doing here, you masters? Get back to your classes this moment.
Yes, Headmaster. I'm so sorry, I'm afraid this might be my fault, Headmaster. I'm still rather a new girl, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Oh, no, not your fault at all, Miss Entwistle.
Prudence, please.
Prudence, of course. Yes. By the way, it's not Headmaster. Jasper.
Jasper.
Right. Right. Anyway, back to the grindstone. The wife. I mean.
Goodbye, Jasper.
Yes. Better be. Bye.
Timothy.
Yes, Nigel.
We have just witnessed things no tiny mind should witness.
Who's that down there? It's Molesworth and Peason, isn't it? Better pop off to your classes, boys. Don't worry, I won't say anything. Mum's the word. Toodaloo.
And so, farewell, listeners, to episode...
What's the matter, Molesworth?
Nothing's the matter.
You've gone all flush.
Have not.
Have.
Have not.
Have.
Not.
Have.
What? Farewell to episode 3. But what will happen in episode 4, listeners?
Will there still be a school? Or will it have fallen victim to the mystery plague of St. Custard?
Yes.
Will we still be here? Or will we have been closed down and all the tiny pupils free?
We can only pray, dear listeners. We can only pray.
Well, I couldn't have said it any better myself. That's at the same time tomorrow.
This weekend in the Seventh Dimension, the Doctor and Perry help some medieval villagers escape an oppressive regime.
You know what you have to do.
I've never used a sword before.
Doctor!
I'm sorry, Perry, but I've never shied from a just fight before, and I'm not going to now.
There's more from The Man in Black, and in our comedy Night Terrace, Anastasia's voice attracts attention on a planet that puts the feud into feudal. Join me, Toby Haydoke, for The Seventh Dimension this Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. and midnight on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
This is BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now on Radio 4 Extra, essays from the award-winning author Mohsin Hamid. These are his dispatches from Lahore, New York and London, In Discontent and Its Civilizations. It's read by...